Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Double Entry by Jane Gleason White is a work of financial history that explains how double entry bookkeeping became one of the hidden structures of modern economic life. Centered on Renaissance Venice and the codification of accounting methods by Luca Pacioli, the book traces a long arc from ancient counting practices in Mesopotamia to the rise of global capitalism and contemporary finance. Gleason White writes for readers beyond the accounting profession, treating ledgers not as technical paperwork, but as cultural tools that shaped commerce, trust, investment, and the measurement of profit. The book combines economic history, intellectual history, and institutional critique. Its purpose is not only to explain how double entry accounting works, but also to show why it mattered historically and why its limitations matter now. By connecting merchant practice, mathematical innovation, corporate accountability, and environmental cost, the book argues that accounting systems influence what societies value and what they ignore. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, accounting begins as a technology for recording exchange and obligation. Gleason White places double entry bookkeeping within a much longer history of counting, writing, and economic coordination. The book reaches back to ancient Mesopotamia, where clay tokens and early written records helped administrators and traders track goods, debts, and transactions. This background matters because it shows that accounting did not emerge as a narrow professional specialty. It developed as a practical response to the problem of memory in increasingly complex economies. Once trade extends beyond face-to-face exchange, people need durable records that can stand in for trust, settle disputes, and make obligations visible. By beginning before Venice, the book emphasizes continuity between basic record-keeping and sophisticated finance. Double entry accounting appears less like an isolated invention and more like a major refinement in a long evolution of economic notation. This framing also helps explain why accounting can be historically powerful. A society that changes how it records assets, debts, and profit also changes what it can manage, compare, and expand. Secondly, Renaissance Venice turns bookkeeping into a system suited to long-distance commerce. The book gives special attention to Venice because the city concentrated the conditions that made double-entry bookkeeping useful trade across regions, partnerships, credit, multiple currencies, and merchant ventures that unfolded over time. In such an environment, simple lists of receipts and payments were not enough. Merchants needed a method that could connect transactions into a coherent picture of a business. Double-entry bookkeeping met that need by recording each transaction in two related ways, making it possible to track both the source and use of value. This structure improved error detection and allowed merchants to distinguish capital, debt, expenses, and profit more clearly. Gleason White presents Venetian accounting culture as part of a broader commercial revolution, not merely a clerical improvement. The ledger became a management instrument. It helped merchants see an enterprise as an organized whole rather than as a series of disconnected deals. That capacity made it easier to plan, borrow, invest, and scale commercial activity. Thirdly, Luca Pacioli codifies merchant practice and gives accounting intellectual authority. Luca Pacioli is central to the book because he helped transform bookkeeping from merchant craft into a teachable and portable system, a Franciscan friar and mathematician associated with the intellectual world of the Italian Renaissance. Pacioli described double-entry bookkeeping in his 1494 mathematical compendium. Gleason White emphasizes that he did not invent every element from nothing. Rather, he codified methods already used by merchants and placed them within a broader mathematical culture influenced by Arabic numerals and commercial arithmetic. This distinction is important because codification can be as consequential as invention. Once described systematically, a practice can travel across cities, professions, and generations. Pacioli gave accounting a formal language and a degree of intellectual legitimacy. His role also connects finance with Renaissance humanism, mathematics, printing, and education. The book, therefore, treats accounting as part of the same cultural world that produced advances in art, science, and measurement, rather than as a marginal activity outside intellectual history. Fourthly, double-entry bookkeeping helps create the mental framework of capitalism. A major claim of the book is that double-entry accounting did more than record capitalism after the fact, it helped make capitalist organization thinkable. By separating a business from the personal memory of its owner, the ledger encouraged a more abstract view of enterprise. Assets, liabilities, income, expenses, and capital could be organized into a structured representation of economic activity. That representation allowed merchants and later companies to calculate profit, compare ventures, attract credit, and evaluate performance. The significance lies in the way accounting converts messy social activity into categories that can be measured and acted upon. This does not mean that bookkeeping alone created capitalism, but Gleason White argues that it supplied a crucial infrastructure for capitalist expansion. Markets need trust, comparability, and accountability, and double entry systems help provide them. The book is strongest when it shows how an apparently technical procedure shaped broader habits of economic reasoning, including the modern tendency to treat profit as a central measure of success. Lastly, modern financial crises expose what conventional accounting fails to measure. The later sections of the book turn from historical explanation to critique. Gleason White argues that the power of double entry accounting is also the source of its limitations. It measures what can be entered into accounts, but it often excludes costs that fall outside the firm or outside market pricing. Corporate collapses such as Enron and WorldCom are discussed as examples of how accounting systems, weak regulation, and managerial incentives can fail to produce trustworthy representations of financial reality. The book also points toward broader concerns, including environmental damage and human costs that conventional profit calculations may ignore. Its argument is not simply that accounting caused modern crises, but that societies rely heavily on accounting categories that can narrow moral and economic attention. If ledgers define value mainly through financial profit, then social and ecological losses can remain invisible until they become severe. The book, therefore, calls for rethinking accounting so that measurement better reflects the full consequences of economic activity. In conclusion, Double Entry is best suited to readers who want to understand finance as a historical and cultural force rather than as a purely technical discipline. Accountants, business students, executives, economic historians, and general readers interested in the origins of capitalism will find it useful because it explains why bookkeeping became central to commerce and why accounting categories still shape decision-making. Its practical benefit is conceptual clarity. Readers gain a stronger sense of how balance, profit, debt, effect, and capital became organized into systems that businesses and investors depend on. And its intellectual benefit is broader. The book shows that methods of measurement are never neutral because they determine what institutions can see and what they tend to overlook. Compared with many books on financial history, Double Entry stands out by focusing on an everyday administrative practice rather than on banks, markets, or famous financiers. Compared with standard accounting texts, it gives historical meaning to procedures that are often taught mechanically. Its distinctive contribution is the connection between Renaissance merchant ledgers, the rise of capitalism, corporate accountability, and the modern debate over environmental and social costs. The result is a concise but ambitious account of accounting as both a practical tool and a cultural system. If you would like to support Jane Gleason White, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.